listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Hey, I'm glad you're joining me. We're starting this new series on how to get your prayers answered. And it's very important to be able to pray in such a way that you're seeing results. That's what the Bible promises, that we're not just throwing our words into the air and hoping something happens. There are promises in the Bible that when we pray, God not only hears our prayers, but promises to answer our prayers. So that's the series that we're going to be in. And then before we start, though, I want to give you some great books, to recommend some books to you on prayer that I know will help you. I have a few here that I've written down for you. Number one, it's a great book I have in my library, Steps to Answered Prayer by Brother Kenneth Hagin. Steps to Answered Prayer. Another great one, The Will of God in Prayer. That's also by Brother Hagin. Those would be two great books to get. And then another one that was extremely convicting to me when I read it, Dr. David Youngie Cho, largest church in the world, wrote a book called Prayer That Brings Revival. Prayer That Brings Revival. That's a phenomenal book. And then two more that I would recommend to you. These two are from Bishop David Oyedepo. The first one is called Understanding Divine Direction. Obviously, that's one of the things we can get from prayer, is direction for our lives, ministries, families, whatever, businesses. And then the final book that I'll recommend is called Winning Prayer by Bishop David Oyedepo. Winning Prayer. I'm sure that all of those can probably be found on Amazon.com. Not sure if there's ebooks, but I would highly recommend that you get those books. You don't need them for this series that we're going to be in, but if you want supplementary reading on prayer, I would highly recommend all of those five that I mentioned. Grab them. And most of them aren't that long. You'd be able to probably do it in one sitting or two sittings, but those will be extremely helpful. So in these next few weeks, we're going to be covering this series on prayer, extremely vital, especially as we're expecting God to do supernatural things for us this year under open heavens. We're believing for increase. We're believing for blessings. We're believing for miracles. Prayer is a must. It is vital. And so in this teaching that we're going to do in this session, I'm going to really cover two areas. Number one, we're going to hit the overview. What is prayer biblically? That's the first thing we're going to hit. What is prayer biblically? The second one is, why should we pray? You know, what is it from Scripture that shows us why we should pray? And in fact, that's going to be a more important portion of this teaching than you think, because there are many people who know that prayer is commanded in the Bible, but they don't understand the power or the why behind praying, so they don't pray. Even though they're Christians, they don't pray. You know, if you've read my book on fasting, Complete Guide to Biblical Fasting, one of the things you'll find in there is that when I was younger, I used to hate fasting. I used to hate it with all my heart. And I would skip out on it, and I'd break the fast, and I'd cheat on the fast and all that. And it's because I didn't understand the why behind fasting. So that's what this portion is going to help you as we talk about why we should pray and what prayer actually is. And we'll talk about that, because these two things are going to set us up. And then throughout the series, as we're going through it, I'm going to teach you on the different types of prayer, the benefits of prayer supernaturally. And one of the things that's going to help us, 12 keys that bring answers to your prayers. I'm going to talk about prayers God does not hear when you pray them. Three prayers specifically God does not hear. And then I'm going to talk about the order. Did you know there's a biblical order of prayer? And then finally, we'll touch a little bit on fasting and prayer. So during this series, and I'm not sure yet how many weeks we're going to do this for, but I'm going to get all this content for you guys and go through it. It's going to help you. But I'm believing you're going to see answers to your prayers like you've never seen. That's what I'm believing for. So I'm looking forward to the testimonies that are going to come back. You know, anytime we do series like this, whether it's on divine healing or prayer or whatever it is, people have testimonies because the Word of God works. There's no question about it. The Word of God works. So let's start with the first thought, which is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Now, the reason I say that is because so many people misunderstand what prayer actually is. So we're going to talk about in this portion what prayer is, and then I'm going to give you five things prayer is not, which is, that's going to be more important than you think. But before we do it, two main texts that I want you to keep in your spirit throughout this entire series. The first being Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, which I'll read to you. The Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." Verse 24. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will," not might, "it will be yours." So that's the first text that we're going to use throughout this whole series. And then John chapter 15, I want to read verse number 7. When I was in Bible school, we had a course on prayer with Brother Hagin, and I was like, man, he's going to do so. He came in every day and read one verse of scripture, the one we're getting ready to read right now, and did an entire semester of teaching out of one verse of scripture. It was actually amazing. But this is the verse, John 15, 7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." So look at that. In both of those passages, the promise is, it will be yours. It will be done for you. There's no question about it in the mind of Christ. He knows what he promised. If you pray, notice there's prerequisites in both, and we'll cover this later. First one is, if you speak, you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe what you said will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. So whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. So faith is a key, but also look at this next portion in John 15. If you abide in me, well, that means you got to be in Christ, right? And my words abide in you. So we pray according to the Word of God. So faith, being in Christ, and then praying according to the Word of God, three vital keys. But notice the promise from both passages, it will be yours. It will, not might, be yours. So what is prayer? If we're going to define it, what is it and what isn't it? Well, most simply stated, and I've written it like this, prayer is direct communication with the Almighty God. Prayer is direct communication with the Almighty God. And the reason I say that is, as I give you these five things that prayer is not, is because if you've ever been maybe to any American prayer meeting, maybe at a church or something, and they say, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And then you go to the prayer meeting, and then everything under the sun happens at the prayer meeting except prayer. It's like, what's going on? You know, you'll have worship, and they'll sing songs. And then maybe you'll have people speak to you about prayer. And then maybe you'll go and say, I just want everybody to go around and you'll see people meditating, or you'll see people journaling, or whatever things. It's like everything under the sun except for prayer. So prayer is communication with God. So what is prayer not? Number one, prayer is not meditation. Prayer is not meditation. Meditation's meditation. And it's not wrong. It's something we should do. For example, we set our mind on things above, not on things of this earth, right? Whatsoever things are pure, holy, of a good report, think on these things. So meditation is a biblical principle, but it's not prayer. You know, just be, and I see people at prayer meetings just walking around, you know, or sitting in a seat and you can see they're just meditating. Meditation is meditation, but prayer is communicating with God, communicating with God. And again, we need to set our minds. We need to meditate on the word of God, no question. But we can't do that and then call it prayer. It's not prayer. Secondly, prayer is not reading the Bible. You know, I see that a lot at prayer meetings. There's people just walking around the church with their Bibles in their hand, just reading the scripture. That's not prayer. And we need Bible reading. We need to ingest the mighty word of God, but reading God's word is not a prayer, or a form of prayer, either one, though we need the word. Why do we need it? Well, as I said a moment ago, when we pray, it has to be based on God's word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, well, having the word in you is going to produce powerful prayer, right? Having God's word in you and praying God's word is going to produce powerful prayer. But reading the Bible alone is not prayer. You know, people say, well, I'm going to go into my prayer time. And then they spend their prayer time reading the Bible. That's not prayer time. We've got to pray. Got to pray. Prayer is not praise. Now, praise is something communicated, but it is not prayer itself. It's not prayer itself. Praise is something that you want to add to your prayer. No question about that. I'll take you, I'm sure, through passages in the New Testament during this series we're doing where we show you, even in the Old Testament, people praying and praising at the same time. But it's not the same thing. For example, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in the inner dungeon. And the Bible says at midnight, what did they do? Verse 25, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. So there were two separate things they were doing. They were praying and they were singing praises. So they're two separate things. But sometimes people get that confused. Well, praise is a form of prayer. No, praise is praise. Prayer is prayer. Here's something that these last two, very interesting. Number four, prayer is not one-sided. Let me say it that way. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's a dialogue. And the reason that I say that is because sometimes when people are praying, they spend so much time doing all the talking that they don't actually listen to hear God's voice. Prayer is not just you speaking to God. It is God speaking to you. And if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write that down. Very, very important. Prayer is not just me speaking to God. It is God speaking to me. That's vital. Because remember, we'll go through this too. There's types of prayer. Not all the types of prayer are the same. Not every prayer is you asking God for something. Sometimes, you know, you're not looking for a healing or a gift or an increase. Sometimes you want to hear his voice. As that book that I recommended to you, the book by Bishop Oyedepo, Understanding Divine Direction. Sometimes what we're praying to receive is God's voice directing us on what we should be doing, because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So we need to be led by his Spirit, right? But then we have to hear him. So you can't do all the talking. You've got to hear him. So remember this. Number four, prayer is not one-sided. That's so vital for people to remember. Prayer is not one-sided. It's two-sided. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Obviously, the things God says to us are more important than the things we say to him. I'll say that again. The things God says to us are more important than the things we say to him. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. No question. I want access to his mind, his thoughts, his ways, always. So remember that. Number four, prayer is not one-sided. Don't spend all your time talking and then just leave. No, listen for him. He'll speak. He wants to speak. He wants to speak to you. Number five, and this is a very vital one to know, prayer is not optional. Let me say that again. Prayer is not optional. We as believers are commanded to pray. Now, I'm going to get into that more in the next section, but we as believers are commanded to pray. You cannot be a believer and reject God's command to pray, to seek his face in prayer. And so we can't say, well, you know, I just don't really think prayers. No, you can't. It's not an optional discipline in the kingdom of God. Just like holiness is not optional. Just like going to church is not optional. Just like reading the word is not optional. No, prayer is not optional. We have to do it. Now, I will say this. One of the things that'll help you is creating some sort of a prayer routine. Creating some kind of a prayer routine. It makes it easier for you to create habits in your life that please God. So the question becomes, when will I pray? When am I going to pray? One of the reasons that we in this ministry, we give you prayer points, which can be accessed. Prayer points are helpful. They're a starting block for your prayer time. We give you things that are scriptural to pray. We give you the scriptures that we base those things on, and it kickstarts your prayer time. So you know when I'm going to pray. I know many people create a place of prayer. Where am I going to pray? It's got to be free of distractions, right? I don't want to be trying to pray and then everything's bombarding me at the same time. Cell phone off, in a place that's more enclosed. You're not out in the middle of the hustle and bustle of everything in your house. You know, that's why people used to have what they called prayer closets. Well, it's just a place you close yourself away. I know when I'm going to pray, where I'm going to pray, what I'm going to pray, how I'm going to pray, and I know why I'm going to pray. And so these things are vitally important, but it'll help you as you move forward because understanding what prayer truly is and then understanding it's not something that I can choose whether or not I want to engage in it. I have to. Let me say it this way before we move on to the next section. When you pray, power is released. When you pray, power is released. That's found in the book of James chapter 5, and I believe it's verse number 16, where the Bible says the prayers of a righteous man or woman make much power available. Now, I'll go there and you highlight it if you would, because this will change your mind. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. So your prayers are powerful. They're full of power. It was the Methodist minister, E.M. Bounds, who wrote, he's attributed with this quote, wrote 9 books on prayer. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. I'm sure you may have heard that quote before. He's the one that said it and wrote it, E.M. Bounds. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Why? Because your prayers make power available. Your prayer, no matter when, no matter what, it is making power available in your life, in your family, in your ministry, in your business. If you neglect it, what you're really neglecting is the power that's available to you to do what God's called you to do. Don't miss the power of prayer because you've thought prayer was optional. It is not optional. Set time for yourself. Set a time goal and say, you know what? I'm going to take this much time each day. We always give people the recommendation of an hour. And we say, why do you give the hour? Well, Jesus said it. Could you not tarry with me for at least 1 hour? The early church did it. The Bible says that they were going to the temple, Acts chapter 3. At the hour of prayer. So it seems like a baseline from the New Testament, and you could take, you know, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, however you want to break it up. But set a time frame for yourself and say, I'm going to seek God's face and go after his presence with my entire life. So in this section, I want to talk to you now about Why should we pray? We've covered what prayer is, but why should we pray scripturally? And I'm going to give you three reasons, and we're going to go through those. I'll give you scripture for those, but why as a believer should we pray? The first is this, and I want you to write it in your notes. The first reason we should pray, obviously, is that we are commanded to pray. We as believers are commanded to pray. Look with me at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. This is interesting. The Bible says, and he, talking about Jesus here, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That's the ESV. And then he tells the parable of the persistent woman who prays, and then there's that judge that neither fears God or respected man, and she just keeps on going after him over and over until he gives her what she wants. The parable is to show the disciples that you men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. You know, that's actually one of the things that keeps people from praying a lot of times, is that they've prayed and they felt like their prayers weren't answered quickly enough. And so they literally just stop praying. And they say, well, I guess God's not into answering every prayer or whatever, you know, whatever they'd heard or whatever they've thought. And then they just stop praying and they move on to something else or learn to live with whatever it is they're dealing with. No, Jesus says men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That's very key. Always to pray. So there should always be an aspect of our lives that includes prayer. And as I encouraged you previously, you ought to set it like a schedule. Set it like an appointment and keep it every day. At this time, in this place, I meet with God every day and I pray. I seek the face of God. Listen to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. Jesus is teaching on prayer and he says in the sixth verse, but when you pray. So obviously there's an expectation of Jesus for his followers to pray. He was teaching them. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, there's the benefit side. Jesus promising again that you'll not only get answers, you'll get rewards for prayer. But notice he doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, which means that there's an expectation of Christ, same as there is for fasting. As I wrote in the fasting book, he said, when you fast. So there's an expectation that his followers would fast, and there's an expectation that his followers would pray. And not only that, Jesus modeled that for his disciples. And if you go through scripture, what you'll find is he modeled a life of prayer. He showed them what it looks like. And then when they weren't following his model, he rebuked them. He said, you know, they'd fall asleep. Why are you sleeping? Wake up. Wake up and pray. You know, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? He was showing them what a life of prayer looked like. And then on the other side of that, sometimes Jesus would pray through the whole night. And I may bring this up again, but let me just say, it's interesting to me that after all the disciples saw Jesus do in his ministry, the only thing that they asked Jesus to teach them was, Lord, teach us how to pray. You remember that? Lord, teach us how to pray. I find that interesting because they could have said, teach us to cast out demons. Teach us to heal the sick. Teach us to multiply resources. No, teach us to pray. Why? They knew. They'd watched his life. They'd watched the fact that he was a man of prayer, and they knew that's what brought his results. And they wanted what he had, and they knew it came from prayer. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Now, this is a grouping of commands that Paul's giving the Thessalonian church all at one time here. And he starts in his benediction and he says, we urge you, brothers, Admonish the idle. This is verse 14. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Verse 16, rejoice always. So that's also a command. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 19, don't quench the spirit. So you see this? Paul's giving them commands from the Holy Ghost. Commands from the Holy Ghost. And one of those commands was pray without ceasing. So the number one reason that we pray is that the scripture commands us as believers to pray. All right. Number two, the second reason that we pray is because we want to imitate Jesus Christ. He's our master. You know, that's all discipleship really is. Discipleship, and we've talked about it a lot in church and everything. Discipleship, all it really is emulating or copying the disciplines of your master. That's discipleship. Emulating or copying the disciplines of your master. Luke chapter 5, look at verse 16. The Bible says, but, and this is in reference to Jesus, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. I just had described that to you. Look at verse, I'll read verse 15 with verse 16. Luke 5, 15 and 16. But now even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That's something the disciples saw. They saw that. They knew that without question, he was a man of prayer. Where do you think he was receiving instruction? In his times of prayer. Remember Jesus said about himself, I can do nothing unless I see the Father do it. I say nothing unless I hear the Father say it. And so Jesus would withdraw and pray and receive a fresh strength to do that work, that ministry that he was doing. Jesus was a man of prayer. John 14, 12, I want to say this. John 14, 12, Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to be with my Father who's in heaven. Well, let me just say something to you, and I understand the reference and the context to my miraculous works, telling his disciples, you'll also do miraculous works. But remember something. There was a time when his disciples tried to do miraculous works and they failed. Mark chapter 9. There was a demon-possessed son brought by his parents. And when the disciples tried to cast the demon out, what happened? The parents said, your disciples could not cast the demon out of our son. And Jesus then rebuked them, cast the demon out of the boy with no issue, and then said to them later when they asked him, Lord, why could we not cast that demon out? The reason that they were obviously confused was because they had cast other demons out. They had healed other sick people. But this one, for some reason, they could not cast this demon out. And they said, why, Lord? You know what he told them? This kind of demon does not come out except by prayer. Mark 9:29. This kind of demon does not come out except by prayer. So what Jesus was saying is, as we referenced earlier, James chapter 5, power is produced and released through prayer. More prayer, more power. So Jesus is saying there's levels of strength that you have to get to through times of prayer. And we know the disciples were not doing it like Jesus wanted them to. They'd fall asleep. He called them a faithless generation. How come you don't have the power? You've not been praying, he said. It's not because they didn't have authority. It's not because they didn't have anointing. It's not none of that. He said, it's because you're not praying. You can't release the power that's in you because you're not praying. And so he rebuked them, knowing that the works. Now, I want to go back to that John 14:12, because a lot of times we read that and only think about the miracles. But remember something with me. Remember this. Jesus' miracles came through his works of dedication. He knew the word. He lived holy. He prayed. So his works were an extension of his works of dedication. And I look at that and say, John 14:12 means more than just the miracles that I do, you shall do also. No. Also, he expected his disciples to pray like he prayed, to fast like he fasted, to live holy like he lived, to be bold like he was bold. All these works of dedication. You know what he said when the other disciples came to him and said, hey, John's disciples fast and the Pharisees fast. Why don't your disciples fast? He said, you don't fast when the bridegroom is with you, but I'll be taken from them and then they will fast. So notice, he had a future expectation for his disciples' dedication. And that's the same with prayer. He said, you should be praying, always be praying, and you should not lose heart, and you'll do the works that I'm doing, meaning you'll pray like I pray. You'll seek God like I seek God, and then you'll see miracles like I see. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 24. Look at this. A disciple, Jesus teaching once again, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Okay, what does that mean to us? Let me give you something. Maybe you've never seen this before. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Okay, think about this. To the point I just made. If Jesus had to pray, seek God's face, fast, be filled with the Holy Ghost, know the word. If he had to do all these things in order to produce miracles, and then we could come along and not have to fast and not have to pray and not have to live holy and not have to know the word, and we could still produce those mighty miracles, that would make us greater than Jesus. Because in order for him to produce miracles, he had to do those things. But if we don't have to and still have the miracles, we're on a greater level. No, it doesn't work like that. And that's why Jesus taught a disciple is never above their master or their teacher, nor a servant above their master, which means if Jesus had to spend those times in prayer, we also have to spend those times in prayer. If he had to know the word, we have to know the word. If he lived holy, we have to live holy, right? Because we're not above our master, but look at the next verse, verse 25, Matthew 10, 25. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. So we're to be like Christ in his dedication, in his consecration, and then we'll produce his results. So the second reason why we pray is to imitate Christ. To imitate Christ. Well, notice Christ is not the only one that we're to be imitating. We have another example in the New Testament, and that's the Apostle Paul. In fact, the Holy Spirit inspired him to command the church to imitate his life, to follow him, follow his way of living, imitate his way of living. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Listen to this. Paul writes, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, let me just say something to you. Christ is no longer on the earth. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's coming back soon. But there will always be people on the earth that you can see their results. You can see that God is using them. Paul was that man when he was alive. And he told the churches, watch me. You can't watch Christ anymore. He's gone. Now watch me as I follow Christ. So notice the implication here is, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Paul's basically saying, if I ever stop imitating Christ, stop imitating me. But as I imitate Christ, imitate me. There should be people we can look at. That's why I gave you even books of men of God that have done great things for God, and still some that are here on the earth still doing great things for God. Still doing great things, like Bishop Oyedepo, still doing great things for God. We can imitate their dedication, their love for God, their consecration. But notice, he said, imitate me. It wasn't just Jesus that prayed. Paul was a man of prayer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. He said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so, even praying in the Spirit, we have example in the scripture. Imitate me. Okay, what's one of the things Paul did? He prayed in tongues more than anybody. Spent time praying in the Holy Ghost. And so we can see these things that are now examples to us from scripture. We can see how they impacted these men's ministries and how they turned the world upside down without technology, no social media, but by the power of the Holy Ghost through prayer. You know, I have a friend that he was on the board at Dr. Cho's church in Korea, Seoul, Korea. And he went there and he wanted to ask about their church growth. Having over a million members is supernatural. Over a million members. And he went there and he met with Dr. Cho's mother-in-law. Her name's Madam Che. And he said, how do you have such church growth? He was looking for some sort of church growth principle or something. Her answer shocked him. She said, how do we have such church growth? We pray, 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 and we fast, fast, fast. That was her answer. There's their church growth principles. We pray, 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 and we fast, fast, fast. Dedication grew it to the largest church congregation in the entire world, and probably at that time in the history of the Christian church. So understand the power. The power was through prayer, and according to her, prayer and fasting. So there are still people on the earth today that we can see. Look at Pastor Enoch Adeboye. Look at Bishop David Oyedepo. Look at these men of God around the world that are men of great prayer. Bishop Dagg, Hayward Mills. Look at these men. All night prayer, spending time in prayer to see growth, see increase, see impact in the kingdom of God. People saved before it's too late. There's a heart to pray. There's an urgency to pray. There's an urgency. And we're doing it to imitate Christ. We're doing it to obey the command. But let me give you a bonus. I'll give you a fourth one as a bonus. The fourth reason that we pray is because we have an intense love for God's plan. I'm going to say that again. The fourth reason that we should pray is because we have an intense love for God's plan, just like Jesus did, just like Paul did, just like these men of God today do, an intense love for God's plan. What does that mean? God has something that he wants to be done on the earth. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So do what? Pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest field. Notice this is linked back to prayer again, because God wants to do something, but he uses men to do it. Our first prayer, and we'll get into this with all the different types of prayer when we get to that, but should always be a prayer of consecration. Lord, before you send anybody else, use me. Use me, Lord. Let my life be something that you can use to impact my generation. And so the fourth reason I'll give you is we pray because we have an intense love for God's plan on the earth, without question. We love God, which means we love his plan of redemption. There are people that are on their way to hell that if something's not done, they'll not make heaven. They'll end in eternal judgment. And we are playing a mighty role to see God use us to bring those people into the kingdom before it's too late. And time is running out. Time is absolutely running out. These are the reasons that we pray. So when I come back next week, we're going to be launching into the next part of this series where we're going to be going through the 8 types of prayer found in the Bible. The 8 different types of prayer found in the Bible. Some people think prayer is just prayer. They think prayer is just prayer. It's not. This is one of the things we have to learn as believers. You know, it's like Brother Hagin one time, where he was going to teach people on the types of prayer, how to pray different types of prayer. And a preacher came up to him and said, well, Brother Hagin, he said, prayer's prayer, isn't it? Prayer isn't just prayer. He said, yeah. And sports is sports, but they're not all played by the same rules. If you play basketball with football rules, you'll get messed up. If you play baseball with hockey rules, you get messed up. And that's why when you try to pray, if you don't understand the type of prayer that you're praying, and this is what we're covering next week, if you don't understand the type of prayer that you're praying, then it can affect the prayer. It can definitely affect the way that you're praying. And I'll cover what I mean by that when we get into that study. But this is going to be the 8 different types of biblical prayer. I want to pray for you before we go. You know, we're believing for a year of unbelievable miracles. I'm talking about stuff that's massive. And I know you've got your faith set too. We've said we're under an open heaven. We're under an open heaven. And so I want to join my faith with you at the end of this teaching tonight and just set my faith that you're going to quickly see in the month of March what you're believing God to do in your life, in your family. Maybe it's for your business. Maybe you're a minister and you're believing for your ministry. I'm believing with you that in this month of March, you're going to see supernatural things take place and God's going to do it swiftly. Lord, I pray for every man and every woman that's watching this, that's joining me for this. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would open the windows of heaven over their home, their business, their ministry, their family. Let supernatural things explode for them. Let this be a month of momentum in March in Jesus' name. Supernatural momentum in March by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that things that can't be explained would take place and do it swiftly by your power. Do it supernaturally by your power. We thank you, Lord. Sicknesses are being healed. Diseases are being healed. I thank you that people are coming back to the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that heaviness has to go. Joy is coming. We're seeing financial breakthroughs. This is our year. In Jesus' name, this is our month by the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.